Today's Kool-Aid Football Podcast is sponsored by 2.go, a Madrid-based digital online marketing firm which specializes in pay-per-click advertising, such as Facebook ads and Google AdWords, as well as social media management in both Spanish and English languages. Check out their website for more information, 2.go.com. Update your business to version 2.go. Now, on to the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to episode 33 of the Kool-Aid Football Podcast, the only weekly English podcast about Football Club Barcelona. I'm your host, Gabriel Croga, recording here from sunny, hot Madrid. In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the last La Liga match against Eibar that was played on Sunday, and then also just kind of go over some news and notes, transfer rumors, and so forth, and just kind of talk about the things, kind of a year-end review, and just talk a little bit of the preview before the Copa del Rey match that is going to take place this Saturday night. So first, before we do the match review, the Eibar, let's get into some of the news and notes that is perusing now from the internet, also here from Spain. Obviously, Real Madrid won the league. pretty impressive feat, you know. Now that I've been thinking about the league, or actually the year in review, it's been pretty impressive how Zizou took over Real Madrid. Obviously, it's not the most spectacular football to watch, but all they do is win. And to me, if Real Madrid wins the Champions League this year, they could be considered one of the all-time great teams. Because from the run of when Zizou took over, it's just they have barely lost any games. And also the competition that they're playing against with La Liga and the Champions League. It will be an amazing, basically year and a half of matches played and won by Real Madrid. Zizou has been brilliant on balancing his bench, keeping his players engaged, his players fighting when their number is called upon. Which has been a huge, huge benefit for them, winning La Liga and now obviously advancing to the Champions League final where they'll play Juve. This isn't contrary to what Luis Enrique has not been able to do in the last 2 years. And also with that, the decline of league titles and trophies. Obviously won La Liga last year, but this year, we lost La Liga basically on one to two matches, maybe three. But those are the differences, especially with Real Madrid and Barcelona such equals. But yeah, so if Zizou wins the Champions League this campaign, wow. I mean, that'd be back-to-back Champions League, which no club's ever done. La Liga, I mean, wow. That's just such a great run for Zizou. So much respect for him. I never thought, Real Madrid would play this style where, everyone on the team is in game. I mean, the team has such high superstars. They kind of have the image of being really selfish players, Galacticos and all that stuff. But Zizou's been able to manage all those personalities even better than Ancelotti and gotten better results. And most importantly, obviously being such a great player in his time, I think that does so much to get the respect of the players at the beginning, and obviously being a good tactical coach now with the changes that he's made for Real Madrid. And also, more importantly, he has kept Florentino Perez from meddling with the team too much. Years past, since I've been here in Madrid, with Mourinho, Ancelotti, and of course with Rafa Benitez, Florentino Perez almost gets as much TV time, interview time as the coaches. And ever since Zizou's taken the helm, Florentino Perez has really definitely taken a backseat. He's He's not seen as much on TV here locally in Spain. Obviously, he still does interviews once in a while, but he hasn't been to the forefront, obviously, because Real Madrid's been winning, so there hasn't been that much controversy. But I think it's kind of a change for Florentino, whereas before he was meddling so much that the coaches were unable to manage the team. Another news, obviously the Real Madrid celebration took place here in Madrid on Sunday night with the players coming in at like 2 o'clock in the morning. If you're not familiar with the celebrations here in Spain or in Madrid, Real Madrid celebrates in one of the fountains here called the Cibeles, which is right basically in the center of Madrid. And obviously all the Real Madrid fans were there. And of course, Real Madrid could not keep Piqué out of their chance, which was pretty funny. I saw that. They were, one of the things they were saying is like, what was Piqué thinking now, now that Real Madrid has won the league? So always a little bit of more shit talking than anything. But hey, that's your biggest rival, so it's all good. So Sunday was Lucho's last game at the Nou Camp. Had that with a victory. Obviously didn't look like it was going to be a victory at the beginning of the game, or actually until like the 60th minute. So obviously the fans came out in full support with banners and so forth with Lucho. Again, I personally think we need a new manager, obviously a manager that can manage the personalities of the team better, give players more opportunities, give our bench more opportunities, because these are long, long campaigns. There's so many matches being played. We can't ask, all these players to play so many matches. Obviously, the biggest rumor here is that Valverde is going to be the next coach for Barcelona, who's been the manager for Bilbao for the past couple of years. I'm curious to see if he is going to be able to bring his own tactics, if they're going to be able to deviate from the 4-3-3, which I think is much needed. I think we need to have Messi up the middle, and we need to give Neymar more flexibility up the middle as well. I think that's just like the next evolution of that. But more importantly, we need a coach, and I hope Valverde is able to install this, but we need to get more physical and be better on defense. One of the reasons why we were unable to advance in the Champions League and not retain La Liga this year is because we conceded too many goals in important matches. When I'm watching the Real Madrid match, a lot of times they pitch shutouts, which is really important, especially against Champions League quality matches. And, if you look at almost every important match that Barcelona needed to win, they conceded so many goals. Now, obviously, in the whole scheme of the year, they had a really good goal, the best goal differential in La Liga. But, those are just parts in the season where we needed to pitch shutouts and we were unable to. Again, in this Eibar game on Sunday, we were down 2-0. And again, it's just defensive errors that occur that just blow my mind. It's just like really basic defensive things that happen that we are always having mistakes on, and the other team always capitalizes. These are professional football players, so they just need one chance to score a goal. So I'm hoping that Valverde will bring some new defensive prowess to the team. Hopefully we can be more physical. I think more than anything, we just need to change the formation, like I've been shouting almost every episode, just to give more defensive help. Obviously because we don't keep the possession as strong as before, so we need to adapt to new tactics and ideas. The next bit of news and notes, Messi winning the Golden Shoe and the Pichichi. Messi just having an amazing year this year with 37 goals. Just a really solid campaign, obviously, with high assists as well, which to me is just, further evidence of how great Messi is. He not only scores at a high rate, but he also gets others involved with really nice amazing passing and assists. So another great year. I saw a stat the other day on Twitter. It was like, Ronaldo, what a year. It's like Champions League, European champion, Club World Cup champion, La Liga, and then it's like, but I'm like, he hasn't done as much, you know, like, especially like in the European tournament last summer for Portugal, he didn't do shit. This campaign, I mean, obviously he scored a bunch of goals, but wasn't as dominant. And in a lot of games, he was missing. Obviously, in the match against Atletico for the Champions League, he showed up, as well as in the match on Sunday when they needed a goal. He scores in the second minute, and it was just like game over from that point on. What else do we have here? No new news on the Messi contract. The latest news here is that it's still, you know, in the final stages, but nothing has been confirmed. I'm sure they'll work out that detail. Obviously, Messi wants to stay, and Barca wants Messi to stay. Again, he has one more year left on the contract, so if nothing really gets worked out right now, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, we don't want to have that linger into the season. We want to get that taken care of in the summer. Actually, what just happened today, I was watching the sports show, and Sandro Rosell, the former Barcelona president, was arrested today for money laundering scheme, trying to sell TV rights for Brazilian TV or with football and so forth. So ever since with the Neymar signing and this, it's going downhill for Sandro Rosell. Obviously, he was acquitted of tampering charges with Neymar, but he still has to go to trial for corruption charges that were being plotted against him. So we'll see how that handles or how that works out for him. But he just got arrested this morning with the Guardia Civil and the FBI doing a joint task force and investigation. So the last game of the year is going to be this Saturday, which is the Copa del Rey final, which is being played in the Vicente del Calderón here in Madrid. Obviously, this is one of my other gripes of the Spanish Federation, is that they never have a set place. I definitely think they should have five stadiums in rotation and just rotate every year and just have the stadium predetermined by the Copa del Rey. So I think the stadiums that need to be in the rotation are obviously the new camp, the Bernabeu, obviously the new stadium where Atletico Madrid's going to play, Valencia, Bilbao, and Sevilla. I think those are the stadiums that need to be in rotation. Obviously, every year there's a big argument with the Federation, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Barcelona wants to have the Copa del Rey match final in the Bernabeu to have more fans, but Florentino Perez does not allow that, always having some sort of excuse. So again, the last game of the Barcelona campaign is going to be Saturday night, 9:30 against Alaves. Some other rumors I just saw before I started recording. AC Milan is targeting Alex Vidal, which is curious. I don't know, if I was AC Milan, I would not go after him, especially after an injury that he suffered. You kind of want to wait one more year to see how he's going to pan out. Obviously, if Barcelona's going to get a nice transfer fee, then obviously I say Barcelona should go for it and then target a better right fullback. Another rumor I just saw was that Iniesta going to Juve. I don't know how I feel about that. Obviously, with Dani Alves being on Juventus and being in the Champions League final and seeing how great Dani Alves played made me really miss Dani Alves. I wish he was still on the team. They should have signed him for a 2 to 3 year contract just to finish off and try to get the most out of him. As you can see, you know, when we have such a stellar right back like we did with Dani Alves for so long, it's really hard to replace. And especially with Sergio Roberto having a lot of up and downs this year, and Alex Vidal getting hurt, you know, it would have been nice to keep Dani Alves. And the other thing, you know, I'm hoping obviously for transfer targets to maybe go after a left back or right back, you know, and just strengthen the defense. I'm hoping, you know, we have a strong enough team already, but, you know, Barcelona's always trying to upgrade and make a splash. I'm hoping with the new coach that they'll be improve tactics, toughness, defense. Because, you know, let's be honest, MSN is always going to be able to score. It's all about just holding the other team to zero. And if we can do that in the big games, then we'll be fine. We'll be in every competition. For me, you know, with Messi, Suarez, and Neymar playing together, having such great chemistry, you know, we don't have to worry about that. For me, it's just the defense. It's always the defense. And it's been the defense ever since Xavi left. And maybe the last year of Xavi's tenure with Barcelona. It's just our defense has never been as strong or tough without Puyol, and also without Xavi, without giving the ball to the other team. Anyway, so the Copa del Rey final is going to be on Saturday. I personally don't know how I feel about it. It kind of makes me feel like an empty fan, I guess, because we're so used to winning lately. You know, not having La Liga or Champions, the Copa del Rey is kind of like the third place trophy for me. But anyway, if we win that again, that's just hopefully that'll help ease our spirits a little bit going into the summer. So I'm going to be watching it with some friends this weekend. I was thinking about going to the match, but the tickets are a little bit too expensive, especially for a Copa del Rey match against Alaves. If it was against a better opponent, maybe I would think about going, but I don't know, I'm just going to go watch it either at a friend's house or at the bar. So I'll definitely have some photos of that for the Facebook page. So quickly, let's just go into the recap of the game that was played on Sunday afternoon. So obviously, with Madrid and Barcelona playing at the same time, it was important for Barcelona to get the win. And like I said, within the second minute, Madrid scored their goal to put even more pressure on the Barcelona-Eibar match. And with that, Eibar started off with the goal. So let's get into some of the statistics and some of my thoughts on the game. Again, a bad start for Barcelona. It all just starts with the defense. Sergio Roberto didn't play well, also got hurt, which threw chaos into the substitution for Lucho. Let's see. Obviously, Messi had another outstanding performance, trying to will the team back. He missed a penalty, but had a really nice last goal for Barcelona, which was just a nice weave through the whole defense. So let's get into the statistics. First, let's go into the lineup that was played on Sunday night. Ter Stegen in goal, Sergio Roberto, Umtiti, Marlon Santos getting the start because of Piqué not playing, Jordi Alba, Iniesta, Rakitic, Sergio, Busquets, Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. Those were the starting 11 for Barcelona. So let's get into some of the stats. Let's get into the general play. The possession, 73% for Barcelona. So obviously dominating possession, but not really doing anything. Duels won, 52% for Barcelona. Offsides, 10 for Barcelona. So just a really bad offside night for Barcelona. 10 corners for Barcelona to 4. Again, the heat map is pretty good. A lot of action onto Neymar's side and also up the middle. Again, this goes into my 2016-2017 season major gripe. The right corner where Messi used to occupy the 4-3-3 4 years ago is completely empty. I mean, it's just like no pressure on that side. And again, it just baffles me. Like, I'm looking at this as a fan, and Barcelona has obviously more tools to look at for match, post-game match and previews and all stuff. And I just don't understand how they not see this and make the adjustments accordingly. But I digress. So anyway, those are those general plays. Let's get into the attack play. 4 goals for Barcelona, 2 for Eibar. Total shots, 18 to 6. Shots on target, 11 to 4 for Eibar. So obviously, you know, Barcelona was on the attack for the most of the time, but it was, you know, I had the feeling up until about the 65th minute that Eibar was going to be able to pull it off, especially with their 2 outstanding goals. Let's get into the distribution, the passes. Again, high pass total for Barcelona, 586 to 205. Let's see, accuracy, 87%, obviously accurate as always. Total crosses, they were both pretty equal, 14 to 13 for those. Let's get into some of the player shots that we can look at on the FC Barcelona website, which I always love looking at these graphs of Barcelona's performance. Obviously, shots were all around the park, which was good. Scoring from trying to shoot from the left, the right, the middle, a little bit from distance. So really good variety of attack, which is always great. Let's get into the goals. The first goal was scored by Ibar in the 7th minute. Just a really, really bad defending on the goal. Sergio Roberto got sucked in the middle. I don't know why, because there was pressure. I mean, there was no reason to go up the middle. He had to keep on his man. His man was wide open and volleyed it. Really nice volley for Ibar. So they were up 1-0. And with that, just, you know, everyone was nervous because obviously Madrid was already winning 1-0. So if any chance to have at the La Liga was gone almost when the match started. So the second goal was in the 61st minute. Again, bad defense, but can't blame Sergio Andre Gomez because he was playing right back for Sergio Roberto because he got hurt. And he's obviously not a defender, but it was a great volley by the Ibar player and went past Ter Stegen. But just really bad defense again. It's just two open opportunities and two goals. You just can't have that. If we were playing solid defense, you know, the person who's marking that forward is just closer, and you never know if that player is going to take that shot, be rushed, not hit the target, these type of things. In the 63rd minute, was an own goal by Ibar. Nice build-up by MSN. Messi had a nice pass to Neymar. Neymar had a nice shot to the corner, but the Ibar defender, ran onto the rebound, and that went in as an own goal. In the 73rd minute, Barcelona had a nice corner kick. Paco Alcácer flicked it back from the near post, back to the back post. And Suarez had a nice poacher's goal where he just stuck his foot out. Just a really nice corner kick. We rarely see Barcelona score on set plays like that where they actually put some pressure on the defense. That's another thing that I think Barcelona should do more of is put the ball into the center like that. There was someone at my door. Great timing while I'm recording this podcast. Thank you very much. Anyway, continue on. And then in the 90th minute, well, with that goal, with the Suarez goal, they tied the match at 2. And then in the 75th minute, a really nice goal started by Neymar. It was a penalty that was awarded, but really just really great 1v1 speed down the flank. Neymar gets fouled, and Messi converts the penalty, which in earlier, Messi had the penalty crossed. And then in the last minutes of the match, in the 92nd minute, Messi scores. Suarez had an opportunity to score. He missed the chance. Good save by the keeper. Messi got the rebound at the halfway mark. Takes it all the way, coast to coast, peanut butter and toast. And just, it was just Messi magic, and he just beats the keeper. So those are the goals. 4-2 win for Barcelona, but it was just kind of one of those empty wins, you know. You know, just really bad defense. They were down 2-0. They come back. It's kind of been the story of the year. It's just really bad defense. And then Barcelona has to claw back and come out with some sort of victory. So anyway, that was the match summary that was played on Sunday. As you can tell, it's just, you know, I'm just kind of, I really just get upset with Real Madrid. I'm jealous of their season right now. I love having champions, and to see Real Madrid having the opportunity to win back-to-back, I'm just not enjoying it. And plus, when all your coworkers are Real Madrid fans, and as soon as, like today, when I went into work, you know, everyone is just, you know, Real Madrid. So anyway, Real Madrid finished the league with 93 points and Barcelona 90. So obviously the margin of error this year, just like most years, is very small. Play here, play there. opportunities lost in the season, you know, against Malaga, I remember clearly, where Luis Enrique had a bad lineup, you know, just things like this that led to that, because obviously Real Madrid beat Celta during the week, so they were able to get that game back in hand, and that was just, you know, after they beat Celta, you know, I had a distinct feeling that that Real Madrid was going to win. I mean, obviously I didn't stop believing, but like I said, in the second minute, it was, you know, game over. So, unfortunately, they suffered some injuries. Sergio Roberto has a groin injury. He's probably going to miss the Copa del Rey final. You know, Pique had some stomach issues. They say he's back in training, so we'll see. we'll see how they match up. You know, Alaves is not a bad team, especially they're going to be playing as hard as they can, since this is a final that they haven't been to a final in a long time in their cup's history and their club's history. So they're going to be fired up. I just really hope that Barcelona doesn't not expect Alaves' best game. Because, you know, I could see Alaves, you know, having a surprise, especially if they're playing on a neutral field. Alaves is going to have a lot of support. A lot of people are going to be supporting Alaves because they're the underdog, and everyone loves the underdog. So we'll see how that pans out. So that match is on Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. local time. So it's going to be pretty fun to watch that at a bar or a party, just because the environment just has a big game feel. So like I said, that's May 27th this Saturday. So, well, that concludes this episode of the Kool-Aid Football Podcast. This is episode 33. You know, visit our website at kooladfp.com for all our social media channel. I'll be posting some pictures around Madrid that week. I always like taking pictures of the sandwich boards with all the bars getting ready for big matches. I just think it's really cool. It doesn't happen in the States very often with football, so it's just kind of a different feel. So yeah, so that concludes that episode. Thanks for listening to the only weekly FC Barcelona podcast. And as always, Visca Barça.